Hallelujah. Amen. Sweet spirit here this morning. Amen. Always so good just to be in the presence of the Lord and imbibing His love. Father, we come to You this morning and thank You for the great outpouring of Your love in the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, Your word speaks so clearly that while we were sinners, You loved us. And You came and You gave Yourself for us. And we just say thank You, Father. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your great mercy and Your kindness to us. And Father, we ask that as we come together here this morning, we could lift You up and make You big in our praise. And as we come now to the Word of God, that we would give it the esteem that it deserves. For the Word says that You've taken this revelation of truth, Your Word, and you've even raised it above Your holy name. Father, in a day when people are looking around for visitations, supernatural visitations of dreams and visions, we know that those come at the dispersing of Your hand, but we don't seek visitations, we seek God. We seek to know You. And Peter said that even after the great visitation on the Mount of Transfiguration, Lord, as he lifted his voice up and said, it's good for us to be here. Having heard Your audible voice that shook the heavens. Having seen You, Jesus, transfigured before His very eyes. He spoke to the church and he said, but I show you a more sure word of prophecy. Our hope is in Your word, Lord. Our anchor is in Your word. Our assurance is in Your promises that are yea and amen and sure to 1,000 generations. Father, speak to us today by Your word. Don't let us take it for granted. Don't let this be another church service. Let us hear the voice of the living God here this morning. And let us be changed. And Father, we will give You all the praise and we will give You all of the glory for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy this morning, and as we've been coming out of that study on the Word of God and just refreshing our hearts again in these great promises, Jesus speaking in John 17, a word that today seems to be foolish in the eyes of so much of our society. We live in a society based upon relativism. Our young people have been taught now for generations, decades, that there are no absolutes. Everything is relative. Situational ethics applied to all areas of life. But the reality is there are great absolutes, amen? This more sure word of prophecy. Or as Jesus spoke in John 17 and said, thy word is truth, amen? Say it with me this morning. Thy word is truth. We have nowhere else to look for truth. Whatever you're seeking for in your life, the answer is right here in the Word of God, amen? Whatever your need is, you need of counsel? Let me save you $100 an hour or whatever they charge. You need some counseling? Thy word is truth. Just go to the Word of God. Amen? Amen. The Lord, the Scripture says, the Holy Spirit is our counselor. And He will lead you into truth, the Scripture says. Oh, how we're to love His law. Amen? And so we've been taking that time and encouraging our hearts again to in every area, go absolutely to the Word of God and let it be the final authority in our lives. I want to take that and apply it now to another very important part of the church, and that's to our relationship within the body of Christ. And how we have to take the Word of God and apply the truth of the Word of God into our relationships, or they will not stand. We need to understand one thing, and this is what's been on my heart in the hour that we're coming into as the body of Christ today. Many of us here are very naive when it comes to understanding how fragile relationships truly are. Homes can break up in a moment. Marriages, after 30, 40 years, broken in a moment. Words that are spoken that pierce the heart and wound. And sometimes those wounds can never go away. The scripture says in all of our relationships, offenses will come. Amen? The Bible talks about the need for us to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so it's not natural for there to be unification among human beings. Because in every one of us is that strong desire of preeminence. The I generation is not new. It started with Adam and Eve. The moment Jesus is not Lord, it's all about me. Turn to somebody and say, oh me. Yeah, oh you. Amen. We're a mess. We need help, praise God. We need to be able to experience that full working of redemption that Jesus' blood has afforded us. We need to experience and not have it just be doctrine, the fact that old things have passed away and all things are new. Amen. Amen. We are new creatures in Christ, the apostle said. Now we need to see then, what does that new creature look like? Well, that new creature is not self-involved, not self-indulgent, not self-ish. This new creature takes on that enigma in scripture that says if you're going to be great, you have to become the least. Amen? If you're going to fulfill what Jesus died for in each of our lives and become great for the kingdom, not for yourself, we don't ever look to be great unto ourselves. We look to be great for God. Don't you want to be great for God? Jesus was great for God in that he was able to say, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. And the Bible tells every one of us that we are epistles read of men. That if they hear us, they've heard him who has sent us. Great for God. Great that after you've come and spoken the word of God, think about it, and people's lives transformed, people born again, the power of God that would bring healing into the bodies of individuals, and you can walk away and nobody ever remember who you were, what your name is. They only remember Jesus showed up, praise God. Amen? That's being great for God. And so it all has to do with heart attitude. And if we're going to live together in unity and we're going to exhibit that true body of Christ that'll cause onlookers in this hour to look in and say, behold how they love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples when you have love one for another. Amen? And so it's going to become the greatest indicator of the fact that God's presence is in this place. When we're able to love as we've been loved, to give freely, the scripture says, as it's been given to us. Beloved, we don't have anything that God hadn't given us. Amen? And we can't even love of ourselves. It's Christ loving through us because He's living in us. The apostle said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith, by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Praise God. Oh, we're a blessed people. And we have a great treasure, and I want to talk about that some this morning. And it's that treasure that's seated next to you this morning. You're a wealthy man if you have friends. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. The faithfulness of friends. And you know, we don't know how faithful someone really is until there's pressure put upon a relationship. And we don't like that, but the epistle of James tells us in that first chapter that when this pressure begins to come upon us, he says, count it all joy when you fall into different types of temptations, tests, and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. So let patience have its perfect work, that you might be made perfect. That word meaning mature, complete, the work finished, entire, and wanting or lacking for nothing. So let me tell you something right off the start. Your relationships need trials. And so the last thing you want to do when there begins to be conflict in a relationship, marriages. I saw some t-shirts the other day, the BFF, is that the right thing? And they were these t-shirts and it had BFF 1. BFF 2, BFF 5, BFF 8, BF... Can everybody be your best friend? And so we realize that in our marriages and in our relationships, there are different degrees of commitment. Relating, being able to truly know someone. I don't want to get off on it right at this moment, but can I share something with you? If you are so fearful that you can't let someone into your life, you're missing a lot.
Amen.
Perfect love casts out all fear. Until you're vulnerable, you can never know the great gift of love. Until you become vulnerable and ready to be hurt, you can never know the God, agape love that's available to us. And so we want to talk about how we relate to one another through the Word of God and what the benefits of that are. Now, in all of our relationships, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron, right? And so the closer we get to people, the more we kind of rub each other the wrong way at certain times. So what do? Get ticked off and break off the relationship and find somebody where there's not conflict and it's always fun and games? The Bible, we just quoted you the scripture in James, you will never grow up. If all you're looking for is fun pseudo-peace in relationships. Pseudo-peace is just you getting your way all the time. And how many of you know that's not good for you? Then why do you like it so much? Yeah, same reason I love Cold Stone. Makes me want to hug myself. Amen. Good stuff. But it's not what's best for me. What's best for me sometimes is green stuff. I don't eat green. I don't do green. And yet I know it's good for me. And there's other areas that I don't always do right also. You know what's good for you? Conflict. Because in conflict, you get to see how much of self is still alive in you. In conflict, you get to see whether you're willing to humble yourself and lay down your life and prefer those that are around you. Until there's conflict, you don't know whether you're still on the throne or not. Amen? Let patience have its perfect work, that you might be made perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Oh, how we need one another. And so we have to see then that there's a character trait that's required in every one of us if our relationships are going to stay intact. And I'd like you to ask yourself the question this morning, whether or not this character trait resides with you, within you, and if it does, to what degree? We want to talk about faithfulness. Do you consider yourself a faithful man? Well, you know, the Bible, we're all taught well enough in the Bible. We know now, wait a minute, I know what the Bible says. Proverbs 20 verse 6, a faithful man who can find. You know, there's not really a whole lot of them around. People that are committed to something other than themselves. People to whom you can commit yourself to or put your life in their hands. Who do you really trust today? How many people will you literally put your life in their hands? You will put your children's life in their hands. Now, some of us would have some names that would come to mind. But then it's interesting that at times as we relate to one another and they come with ideas that are contrary to yours and speak toward things in your life that you might like not like to hear, there begins to be some walls that go up. There begins to be, if not a breach, at least a toning down for whatever period of time. And this to me is an indicator of us not really being able to know, to imbibe that genuine love of God that has so freely been given to us. Because beloved, if we have freely received the love of God, we ought, or the scripture says, we owe it to love one another. Amen? We're debtors to love. We are debtors to love. No matter what anybody does against us, our only response to them is to love them. Love your enemies. Pray for those that hate you, that say all manner of evil against you. Amen? Well, there's one amen. The rest of you, I don't know about that one, man. I tell you, I get... And so we don't know until we're tried with that, how we're going to respond. I'm waiting for that to happen to me, for someone to dislike me and say something bad about me, to see how I'm going to handle it. You don't know until you're put under the press, the pressure. But in the midst of all of this, the good news is we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord Jesus. The good news is this. Our God is a faithful God. Amen? His promises are faithful. They are sure to 1,000 generations. Look over at Deuteronomy for just a second, and I just love this passage that speaks concerning the goodness of the Lord and the character of our God and how important it is for us to imbibe this character. Chapter 7, the book of Deuteronomy, verse 9, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God." There is no other. Amen? He's God. We talked about the relativism in our society today and how much pressure there is to be politically correct or to be tolerant of all others, tolerant, you know, of other religions. Tolerant of the new social mores. Tolerant, you know, we live in this world today that you all know that just recently they took the boy out of Boy Scouts. Did y'all hear that? Now you still have Girl Scouts. So you have Girl Scouts that don't allow boys, and scouts that allow girls. That's dumb. You know, this generation's gonna be interesting in a couple more generations when some of these women that are pushing all this stuff wake up and find there's no men around. Any of you ladies like a man? I'm not talking about just being hairy. It is not good for man to be alone, the scripture says. And so God, having made his man and saying it was not good for man to be alone, made a woman for him. Right? And she was a fox. I know that for a fact, man. If you don't know what a fox is, that's my old age generation is saying whatever you say today about her being hot or what's, anybody help me with the term. Okay, she was a fox and you can't come up with one, we'll use mine. And we know that because when Adam came out of his sleep and God had reached into Adam and pulled this woman out of him, you got to remember how this all happened, right? God made Adam by his hands, formed him, and breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul made in the image of God. And Adam named all of the creation, and yet there wasn't found anybody in all of the creation suitable for this man. All of these beautiful creatures, nothing suitable for his man. And it wasn't good for him to be alone. And so God put him into this sleep and he reached into him and he pulled out of him a woman. The rendering woman is really a womb man. Now you got to remember, woman was inside of man. Paul goes on later, and this doesn't fly in today's generation, but I don't care whether it flies or not, it's the Word of God. Man was not made for woman, woman was made for man. Amen. Bible. Amen. Truth. And to believe anything else, you gotta be smoking something. Because God's Word is true. Amen? The Hebrew word for rib, as you come into this, and that creature that was pulled out, the Hebrew neged means negative. The same image from another perspective. What was missing? What was in Adam is now missing and is in the woman, and that's why they come together to become one. And what God has joined together, don't let any man put asunder. Amen? Amen. You're not whole without your wife. You're not whole without your husband. The male perspective is not the truth. The female perspective is not the truth. It's the combined perspective that gets us to the truth. Thy word is truth. Praise God. And we've got an insane world today. And I don't know how I got off on that, but while I still have my scalp, let me go back to Deuteronomy and see how, as the people of God, we need beloved, you need to be friends with one another. I'm talking to marriages this morning. Men, your wife's got to be your best friend. Ladies, your husband has to be your best friend. You need to become closer emotionally, soulically. The soul, emotion, intellect, and will. We need to become closer. We need to become unified. These two becoming one flesh. And in this friendship or this covenant, marriage is the promise that we will love one another, we will befriend one another, and nothing can ever bring us apart. Ever. It's a covenant for life. Now, it's not only a commitment to cohabit, it's a commitment to love. You can live in the same house and not love each other. You can tolerate and not love one another. You can endure and not love one another. You can even be courteous and kind and not love one another. Because to love another individual is to place the highest value upon their life and to commit your life to making life good for them. Amen? Amen? And that same commitment we're going to see in our study is required for the church or the body of Christ. Because we have only one head of the church, and that's the Lord Jesus. Amen? And we, Romans 12, or 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, we are members in particular in that body, and we are placed in that body, the scripture says, as it pleases him. Amen? And so we see him doing one thing there. All competition is removed from the body. There is no competition. There's no vying to be great. There's no vying to have the spotlight on ourselves. There's no vying for positions and I want to be the worship leader and I want to be the soloist and I want to be the Sunday school teacher and I want to be one of the deacons and I want... There is no place for that. God puts in the body as it pleases Him.
Amen.
Amen. And the foot cannot say to the head, because I'm not the head, I'm not part of the body. We need one another, amen? The head needs the foot. Can you imagine? Otherwise, you're just rolling down the road, just his head rolling down the road. You'd be pretty unsightly when you show up where you're going, but, you know, we need one another. So we cannot say, as you read 1 Corinthians 12, we cannot say, because I am not this, I'm not part of the body. Neither can we of any instrument say, because you are not this. We cannot be rejected by other members, nor can we look and judge ourselves and say that we are unacceptable. No one can pass judgment on us and say we're not necessary in the body, that we're not important, that we don't have a job to fulfill. Well, it not only as it works in a functioning of the body, that we have this unity, cooperation, acceptance, but since God has put us in the body as it pleases Him, and we're each working out our own salvation, neither can we allow schism or conflict to come through our passing judgment on one another as it pertains to their conscience, to their perceived holiness, Christ-likeness, spiritual maturity. We rest in the Holy Spirit to do that work in the lives of our brothers and sisters. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, you can't get bugged because someone's not growing up fast enough for you. Somebody else doesn't have the same conscience you have. And so we then begin to get concerned about their commitment to Jesus and how dedicated they are. We know what Paul teaches concerning conscience and the eating things that are offered to idols. The scripture says, don't bring the weaker among you into your community of believers and try to embolden them and tell them, look, you know, this thing of abstaining from all of those things, it's not necessary. We live by grace and we're to walk in the Spirit, and that'll keep us from fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So don't keep yourself under that bondage. The Bible says you can't do that. In fact, if we do and offend a little one, it's better that you have a millstone tied around your neck and be cast into the sea. Amen? Neither can the immature, the weaker one, who can't partake of these sayings, judge those that do. We're talking about befriending one another this morning. We're talking about loving one another. We're talking about trying, as hard as it is, stop trying to inflict your will upon other people. It's hard on relationships.
Amen.
Amen? Now I know that we have to forgive you 7 times 70. But give us a break. Amen? Yes, we are obligated to love you. Stop making it so hard. I hope you don't have anybody in mind right now. But if you do, Let it be 489 and forgive them again. Amen. Now, if you do, listen, we've got 18 more minutes if we go by the clock, which we normally don't. But if you do, you can't keep it up there for these 18 minutes. If you forgive, it's got to go away. Amen? Aphiomi. If we're going to love one another and we're going to forgive one another, the word forgive, it doesn't mean anything less than absolution of that. It's gone away. We put it out of our remembrance, just like the forgiveness of our sins. When God forgives us, the Bible says, our sins are cast behind His back. They're cast into the sea of forgetfulness. When God forgives us, there is no longer remembrance or record of it. Or, as the apostle said it, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us has been blotted out. You know that person that's been bugging you, the person that sinned against you? Forgive them. And then open up the book here, and it's blank pages. No record. Can't be found. It's done. Now, we do know there's only one thing that will cause God to bring those sins back, don't we? Matthew 18 makes it pretty clear. If you refuse to forgive somebody else once they've trespassed against you, everything that was forgiven you, God brings back up. Says you want a reckoning? We'll give you a reckoning. It's going to be another part of the study, but I'll just make some reference to it this morning. That's why we have to relate to everyone in every situation with the spirit of the fact that we are the debtors. You remember the man, the parable he gave us there in Matthew. He said, the man came and said, Lord, forgive me and I will pay you all. He couldn't pay the debt. It was millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. He had no way of paying it. And he said, forgive me and I will pay you all. And he said, I'm going to forgive you freely. That's what happened when Jesus forgave your sins. That's what happened when you cried out and said, Lord, I accept redemption through the blood of Jesus, that there is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that you've raised Jesus from the dead. And because of that, I am saved. I am a regenerated creature, a new creature. All of my sins have been forgiven. Now, when that happens, how do we then, like in this teaching that Jesus has given, turn right around and go over here and grab this guy by the neck and say, pay me that $20 you owe me. And he says, have mercy on me, forgive me, and I will repay you all. And he throws him into the debtor's prison. That'll bring your sins back up. If we're going to have the unity of the Spirit that the Bible talks about, if we're going to be a people that all of those around us can look in and go, behold how they love one another, then we have to live every day as the debtor. I am the debtor. Or as Paul said it, I am the chief of sinners. Do you really believe you're the biggest sinner in this place? I don't mean you've committed the most heinous sins. Because you know, according to Scripture and in the eyes of God, every sin is equally as great an abomination in the eyes of a holy God as any other sin. Amen. And in reality, as we know, there's only one sin that's going to actually send people to a devil's hell, and that's the rejection of the Lordship of Jesus. John's gospel makes it very clear. The Holy Spirit has come to reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me, Jesus said. That's the sin. Now, once we believe on him, then we have to, through that understanding of his lordship, get a glimpse of what we really are in ourselves without him. Every man that does not know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior is a God hater. Now see, that's hard for man to accept because we've got a lot of good moral people. I'm talking about as it pertains to human morality. We've got people who are just naturally kinder than others. More serviceable than others. People that you just like better. You know, I've told the story. I was just out a couple of days ago with my brother, and I always kid around and tell a story about my brother. My brother's one of those real nice guys. And a person that has got a lot of character. And, you know, when there's sibling rivalries and growing up, you know, and there's always within some of the minds of the siblings of, you know, someone seems to be favored. It's usually the baby of the family. Or the firstborn. If you got 12 siblings, it's usually not number 7. But as I've shared before, you know, and I talked about these that have those problems growing up and say, well, you always liked Den better. And see, I never grew up saying that. Because I knew it. Now there was a real conflict because I was the younger son. And he was the older son. There were only two of us. So we both had something going for us, the baby and the oldest. But I always like to say this, you know, I didn't really mind the fact that my parents liked him better because I liked him better too. So it made it a lot easier. When we get a glimpse of how ugly we are, what an affront to a living, holy God who subordinated himself to become a human being in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Go to the cross and take upon himself the sins of the world, your sin and my sin. You know, when we say sin, it's so generic. A holy God, the sinless, holy Son of God, was filled, placed upon him, he became the sin bearer, with a murderous spirit, hatred, pride, lust, Doesn't it hurt to even think about that stuff being put on Jesus? It was foreign to him. He never had experienced it. It was not in him. He lived a sinless life. He was made sin, 2 Corinthians says, with our sin, that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. But he did not sin. Our sins were put on him. He became the sin bearer of humanity. Every person who ever lived, that sin was put upon him. Every ounce of hatred and murder and lust and vileness and lasciviousness and idolatries. And he was made that to free you from your own personal bondage. And he said, all I want you to do is go on the rest of your life knowing you're a debtor. You owe it to love everybody else because I've loved you. You owe it to love me because I loved you. Now put aside all of these self-indulgences and ambitions and find out what my will is for you. His will for you might be to be a CEO of a great corporation. His will for you might be to be the janitor in that corporate building. As we finish for this morning, Father, thank you for your presence here this morning. Father, I want to take time right now because I just sense that your Holy Spirit is working in individual hearts to make that choice this morning to submit to your absolute lordship in their life. Some who may even be already believers, but have not yet surrendered to your best in their life. Any that could be here this morning that have never really accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, having come to understand the love that God has so freely given us and the price that Jesus paid to break sin's power over us and to be able to forgive us and accept us into the family of God by believing that you are the one and only way, Jesus. Those decisions that are being made right now, I ask, Lord, that you would clearly move upon hearts. Holy Spirit of God, that you would move through this place and put your hand as it pertains to these eternal issues. Put your hand upon hearts this morning. That lives might be fully surrendered. We'll give you the praise for what you do. As you edify your body, as you add to your church. Now as we're all in prayer this morning and seeking the presence of God at this moment, each one taking up in your own communion, not looking around, you fellowshipping with God. If there is anyone here this morning that needs to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, You've never made that step. And you say, today's the day I'm boldly stepping out. Jesus loved me that much. I'm surrendering my life to love Him. I am so thankful for what He's done for me. Just stand right where you are. This morning we're going to pray for you. Those of you that have been wrestling with this guidance of the Holy Spirit, and there's things that you know that you've been holding back, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you at this moment. I believe that's why we just abruptly stop right where we are. Today's your day in these areas. I want you to stand up also, and we're just going to take a moment and do it quickly. We're not going to take a long time here. If the Spirit of God is speaking to you this morning about giving your life over to Jesus as your personal Savior, about giving your life surrendered to Him as it pertains to the course of your life, then stand right now, and we're going to pray in the name of Jesus in just a moment. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You. Father, we thank You this morning for lives now that have been surrendered to You as Lord. Father, we thank You that Your presence right now, the reality of Your presence, Your life has drawn these to Yourself. And I ask You right now, as they confess out of their mouths the belief that Father has raised You from the dead, Jesus, the Scripture says, they will be saved. I believe, Jesus, that You are Lord and God, that You are the Savior of the world, my Savior. And I receive that with thanksgiving in Jesus' holy name. And Father, for these that have stood now that are looking to surrender themselves for absolute surrender of their lives, I ask You, Holy Spirit, to come into their lives at this moment and bring supernaturally, right now, that assurance. That assurance, that is the voice of the Holy Ghost. There is a course that is set for you, and you will begin it as you walk out the door this morning because you have given yourself over, and the Spirit will lead you into truth. Hallelujah. Let's the rest of us stand with these now and just begin to praise God and just thank Him for His presence here this morning. Jesus, we come to lift You up and to make You great in our midst. Jesus, we come to give ourselves over to service to the body of Christ. To love as we've been loved. We want to love as we've been loved, Lord. We are so thankful for Your mercy and Your grace. Lord, You've said that if we confess our sins, You're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Forgive me, Lord, for being so self-willed, so prideful. I humble myself before You, Father. Take up and order my steps, Father, in Jesus' name. Put me back on that highway of holiness. And now I give myself over. With all of my heart, the best that I know my heart today, I ask You, Father, show me more grace and help me to be servant of all. I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, for Your glory. Hallelujah. And we'll give You that praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Before we go this morning, turn to somebody next to you and say, I'm the debtor. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.